All right, Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, will join us here. We got some Mike McCarthy audio from yesterday. We'll address and we'll make sure that he addresses. And maybe we'll apply it to the Maple Leafs because there's a lot of connections between the Cowboys and the Maple Leafs. And Luke Wilson will join us later in the hour as well. We'll look ahead to the divisional round with him. I just had a moment upstairs. This is kind of stuff you see out of a movie. I stepped on a Lego piece. And that hurts. It hurt. It was right in the middle
of the kitchen for some reason.
Yeah, I don't like what's it doing there. I don't know. But all my girls are all the way upstairs, so like the lights were off. I go on, I turn the light on, and boom, step on a Lego piece. So that was fun.
Snapping.
Just trying to keep my composure here as we move into the final hour. Because I'm Jack for Wordle After Dark. Speaking of being in the dark, Wordle After Dark, new game show established on this show no more than half an hour ago.
And I think it's got some steam, and it could be a weekly thing. Maybe bi-weekly, never know. But you see Twitter, you see social media, that Wordle is popping up everywhere.
It's getting a lot of love.
Yep. You guys, but we'll see what the reaction is.
I think you're a closet Wordle guy. I wouldn't be shocked if you've been leading the charge from behind the scenes at all. I wouldn't be surprised.
Look, man, I don't ever judge. Like, people that are interested, I'm 45 years old now. Like, positive 2022. I respect the fact that people do different things. I like to tee it. I like
cuddle with your cat. That's your.
That's right. And some people like to do Wordle. That's great. But it's just incredible how you have to announce to the world your score.
But how are you teeing it? You're not teeing it right now anyway. So you keep saying I like to go to my club and chip and putt. That's out of your control at this point. So what are you doing with your time when it's not between 4 and 7 p.m.?
I'm very busy, actually, with personal stuff.
Cray-merica Industries.
Yeah. Exactly. Cray-merica Industries. What exactly are you doing?
I don't need to. It's not my business to tell you my business. I've told you before about personal affairs. Today, I had groceries. I had to see somebody about some suits and stuff. I had to go to the mall and get a hoodie.
I got some other stuff
that I'd rather not talk about on this show, but it's like I'm busy.
Yeah. I got a buddy who is the busiest guy who does nothing. Like he's retired. He sold his company at a young age, and every time you talk to him, he's just so busy. You're like, guy doesn't work. Like just so busy, but he does nothing.
Nothing. You know? But fills out an itinerary.
Fills a day.
It checks it out. Which is important. I do think that's important. I mean, I have noticed, you know, we're all in this haze and whatever. I don't know if we're in a lockdown or not. Technically, we're not. You know, it's not the same as the first one or whatever. But time, you lose sight of time, and every day kind of feels the same. And it's like a Stockholm syndrome almost. Like it's been so long, it doesn't feel like it's been as long as it has been, if that makes sense. Because you just get caught in this kind of rhythm of sitting around a house and – like, our house is in shambles at times, and yet we're here all the time. Like, you would think, because we're here, stay on top of things.
Exactly.
But it's the opposite. Because we're here so much with the kids, you can't keep on top of it, because you're moving from one room to the next, and then we're going downstairs and upstairs, and I want a movie and a snack, and it's like, all right, next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going downstairs. I got to work.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do?
And it's a mess. And then you clean it up at night, and you do it all again.
Do it all again.
The next day.
Step on a Lego piece.
Yes.
All right, so we've been playing the Sheldon Keefe audio from the postgame last night. This was Mike McCarthy yesterday, okay? And the parallels have been drawn between the Leafs and the Cowboys, more so in terms of what they represent. The number one team in the league in terms of popularity, in terms of buzz, in terms of being polarizing, there's no gray area. Right? The Cowboys aren't someone's second or third favorite team. The Leafs aren't someone's second or third favorite team. You either love the Leafs and the Cowboys or you hate the Leafs and the Cowboys. Like it's the Yankees are the third team, I think, in North American sport that apply there. It's those three. You either love them or you hate them, and they get more buzz and more talk than anyone else, and everyone else hates it for it, but it's just a reality. That's why they get the ratings. That's why they play the primetime games, because they're buzzworthy. Yet the Cowboys choke out in the playoffs. The Raptors have had the same, or the Leafs have had the same history in recent years. This was what Mike McCarthy had to say about what kind of vibe he was picking up on before the game over the weekend.
I thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer, but I thought we fought through that okay.
So, thought they were nervous before the game. And he did walk that back. He said, actually, yeah, let me rephrase that and call it, I think he said angst, which is effectively the same thing. Although angst is a pretty good word.
Right.
But nervous before the game. Nervous before the game.
A team with championship aspirations, you don't think, I'm actually shocked he would even admit that.
Like, that's a bad sign, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other one that he did, I think he had a comment which absolutely drove the fan base insane, is when he said the discipline and the penalties.
Yeah, we'll work on that next year. We'll get to the bottom of it. But nervous.
Just fire the guy and get rid of it and stop being stupid. Just do it.
Yeah, Jones isn't going to do it because Jerry Jones needs someone else to be the whipping boy. That's why what's-his-name was down there forever. Jason. What's his name?
Redhead. Jason.
Yeah.
The clapper.
Yeah.
The clapper and the spitter.
The clapper. The clapper was down there forever because then it becomes Jerry Jones's problem. Here's Jason Garrett. That's his name.
Garrett, yeah.
Here's Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Do you want to see McCarthy return next year or what?
I've got a call with Jerry Jones scheduled for later in the week, so okay. I have to keep that for myself for now.
All right. What about him saying that your team was nervous before the game? That's got to make you puke.
I got to stress because people listening sometimes, I can tell it happens to you guys. For everyone listening, I'm kidding. I do not have a call like that. Although I did meet him once outside a restaurant in California.
Okay.
What were you asking again?
Well, Mike McCarthy, is he your boy? Like, yeah. He's your guy? You like Mike or what?
I would like Sean Payton to be that coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but my team let him go years ago.
Right.
So what can I do? He was the young offensive coordinator of the Cowboys when Bill Parcells was head coach, and the second they let him go, I was like, we're going to regret that.
How about the Washington photo that's going around? Are you seeing this recently when McVay, Shanahan, and LaFleur were all
you know
the
what?
Staff
that's great,
together?
Hayes. And everybody puts those coaches on a pedestal, and they might be bright football minds, and they might have innovative ideas, and they might be analytical in their approach, and they might draw cartoons in their office, who knows. But until they have the ultimate success and they're like – turn teams into a dynasty and win championship after championship, all they are right now is just young, innovative coaches. God, they get so much praise. It's like Aaron Rodgers said, you shake the hand of Sean McVay and all of a sudden you're a genius. It's like they get so much hype. It's incredible.
Well, yeah. All three of them outside of, like, Shanahan's been to a Super Bowl, McVay's been to a Super Bowl. They didn't win. They didn't close. LaFleur's been to a back-to-back championship games. I think he's going to do it again this year.
And Shanahan was brilliant last week. And you guys could tell in my voice last week, I was really concerned about that matchup. And in large part because of him. And they had a perfect game plan. I mean, they got a little hairy at the end and they were hanging on a bit. But but they had a perfect game plan. They completely outcoached my team. They're a team. I told you guys before the season started, I had San Fran Buffalo in the Super Bowl in August. And who knows? For a while there, I thought I was an idiot, but now it's back
it's
on.
It's alive now.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely alive. With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider. So we were talking.
You wouldn't know so far.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to get to right here for you, buddy. That Nazem Kadri is a UFA at the end of the year. What a platform year that he is having. Cool. He's making 4.5. It was a 6-year deal. It was a great deal by Lamoriello and the Leafs. And it expires. He had a goal and an assist last night. That's 15 on the year. He's top 5 in the league in points, going to the All-Star game. How's this going to work out for Nazem?
Yeah, I don't know that he can get paid in Colorado. He could stay in Colorado if he takes a team friendly, but I don't know if he can get paid what he's worth in Colorado, which is what I'm going to say for a lot of Colorado guys over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, Nathan MacKinnon will get paid if he stays. He won't get paid as much as if he leaves. I mean, they're starting to get in a situation where they're trying to shoehorn everything in there with that juggernaut in Colorado. So that's the reality for Kadri. He knows that. I would also say that, like a lot of other players, not just him, but his playoff performance will be huge too. But I don't know that the Avalanche are in a position now where they want to start looking at these situations. They're all in for the cup this year. And then they'll deal with their free agents after the year. I mean, they'll have a big decision to make in goal again, right?
Yep.
With Darcy Kemper up. And
they might have a decision to make soon if their goaltender like keeps doing weird things, Pierre. Wouldn't they be a little nervous about that?
I mean, listen, no roster is perfect for sure, and that's where you still wonder with them. But Noodles would know better than me. I think before he had a got hit in the head the other night. Kemper had started to turn a corner. I think the abs felt a little steadier of late. But it's still, I mean, you know, they don't have Andre Vasilevskiy goal, that's for sure. You know, and at the end of the day, it's funny, though, because I guess it's one of those things you never know, but they went so late in the day on the first day of free agency trying to re-sign Philip Grubauer. Do you guys remember the whole Domino's thing that day? It was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, they went at least 7 or 8 hours into free agency trying to keep their guy, but while they were trying to keep him, they were losing out on other guys. I can tell you right now, their plan B wasn't Darcy Kemper. Their plan B heading into free agency was Freddie Anderson. And the problem is Freddie Anderson can't sit there for 8 hours. So he had to know as soon as the bell rung that day that if Colorado wasn't ready to sign him, he went to his plan B, which was pretty darn good, by the way, Carolina Hurricanes. But the whole domino thing ends up with Colorado's striking out on keeping Grubauer, missing out on Anderson, missing out on another goalie, and then really forced into doing something they have not done a lot under this regime. They've been an excellent regime. They've done a lot of smart deals. They overpaid for Darcy Kemper because they had no choice at that point. I mean, they traded a first, and I think, memory serves, was it Connor Timmins?
Yeah, the defense. Yeah, Timmins, yep.
For a year of Darcy Kemper, maybe more if they sign him, but my point is, we'll go back and look at that whole sequence of events if the Avs don't get over the humper.
And he said, you know, the trust issue with Kemper is about health. And although Pavel Francouz, calls him Freddie Frances, has played the last couple games, he's been pretty good. He came
got
in
a shutout last night.
Yeah,
he did last night.
He played well last night. He's now healthy and giving them some stability on the backup position, but I still think they need somebody else at the deadline in case Kemper's not available to them through, through health or inconsistency. So that I'm quite certain that Joe Sakic will do something at the deadline to add to the depth of that position for sure.
Well, I think we're all thinking the same name, right? There's a pending UFA who just won the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, the Flower.
Marc-Andre Fleury, he's got control, though, doesn't he, Pierre? In terms of no trade, no move?
Yeah, and in fact, Dregs talks about him on Insider Trading, which is airing any minute here on SportsCenter. And, you know, bottom line is with Fleury, I'm going to write about this a bit tomorrow, too, is that he has a partial no trade, Brian. But there's a sense that remember how he got traded from Vegas to Chicago last year, it wasn't the automatic, I'm going to Chicago.
Right.
And I think part of those conversations, as far as I can tell, was, you know, we know you're on an expiring deal and we're going to treat you right if, you know, if we're out of it next year at the deadline. So I don't think Fleury goes anywhere unless he wants to go somewhere, is my sense of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously that's up to him, but that's the guy you got to believe teams would be calling on. Like the Carey Price conversation feels like it's over. For this year,
right.
Isn't it? Like if he's
moving, this year, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I think
in the
it's an off-season discussion. Now, I will say this. I keep reminding myself of this, and therefore others around me. The trade deadline is in 2 months. It's in 2 months. Like right. Usually we're getting closer to the Super Bowl in football, and trade deadline's right around the corner. March 21st, guys. So my point is a lot is going to change and some of the things that we think we've lined up for every contender, like they need that, they need this. 8 weeks of hockey and a jam-packed schedule with the revamped NHL schedule. I'm telling you right now, we're going to reframe a lot of narratives between now and March 21st.
Totally agree.
I agree. I was thinking about that last night. You know, I was asked the question, like, do the Leafs need you know, a top four defenseman, would that be on Kyle Dubas's wish list? And I was thinking, well, you know, it's 2 months away. Like, obviously, right. you have a wish list, but, you know, the condensed schedule, and you're starting to see it trickle out, obviously. I was looking at it today. Like, there are some teams that are going to be pissed about, you know, playing 5 games and 8 nights in a bunch of different cities and a bunch more back-to-backs than you anticipated. Like, there's going to be injuries, inconsistencies.
There's going to be teams that are looking to, probably thinking to upgrade or be buyers that are going to completely crap the bed and be out of it.
Correct. Totally. That's what I'm saying. Is we're getting, and listen, we're doing insider trading, so we're as guilty as anyone. I'm just saying we're getting into this whole thing before normal. Like, really, this is really like pre-Christmas in a normal NHL calendar, except that our calendar in real life is saying January 20th, because the NHL season is a month late. So we're just like, I talked to a GM today, he said he can't get anything going with anyone because they're all like, we got to get, like, give us another month and then we'll get back to you. So there's a bit of that going on. But as far as the Leafs needing a defenseman, I'm not making light of it, but can I just say that in the 27 years I've been here in Toronto covering the NHL, I think that's been said every year.
Probably. Yeah.
Come on.
And what's consistent over the last 17, though, Pierre? They haven't won a playoff round. So
maybe
that's why it keeps coming up. And, like, we've had some spirited conversation today about what Sheldon Keefe had to say postgame. And who that was directed at? Was it specific to the second and third pairing who got exposed, but they're young? Or was that more of a, you know, shot at the big boys about what's coming and blowing leads? What's your general read on trying to interpret Sheldon Keefe and his commentary?
That was meant to get the attention of his room, for sure, because now it's happened a few times. And first couple of times, it's like, hey, they played a great game in Colorado. The result's the result. They played all right in St. Louis, and they end up winning that one. But I think he's trying to get ahead of something. I got to be honest. I mean, there are so few times in this Leafs season where you feel like you need to even have this discussion. They've been fantastic. But, you know, trying to keep your foot on the pedal from A to Z before you get to the playoffs in this type of season is going to be difficult. And, you know, Tampa got whacked 7-1 by Florida a couple of weeks ago. It's okay. I know that, you know, we do radio, you know, Leafs Twitter is dominant, all that stuff. I think we're making a lot of not much here. I'm not too concerned.
No, I don't think anyone should be concerned about them punching a ticket, go to the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're one of the teams we're discussing here that in 2 months is going to have, you know, going to be a seller at the trade deadline. You know, I think there's always two separate conversations. The game itself, the moment itself, and then the overarching commentary about this team, which is their own reputation. You know what I mean? Like, you can't spin it any other way. They're the team that hasn't won in the playoffs, so they got to own that. Just like your Cowboys.
Well,
you know,
I was just going to say, we started this hit, and I got a lot of that Sunday when I was literally soul-crushed once again.
Right.
And,
so you can relate. You know what's
and, up. And the two franchises have a lot of parallels, unfortunately. They are beloved. They are hated and beloved.
Mm-hmm.
They have huge followings. You know, it's interesting. Kent Hughes yesterday, when he was named GM, said Bill Guerin phoned him and said, dude, how are you not taking the job? It's the Yankees of hockey and the Dallas Cowboys of hockey. I said, well, no, the Dallas Cowboys of hockey is another team, but you know, that's the, but until you can prove it, you know, until you're Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and you go deep in the playoffs, and until you're Marner, Matthews, and the Leafs of this era, I don't care about 17 years ago, but their team over the last few years.
Yep.
Until they do it, it's hard as a Leafs fan to say that's unfair. I mean, it is what it is.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And, you know, they've used some bullets in the past. You know, we had, like, if they run into a very good team, and Mike Johnson was on last hour, and Johnny brought up a very valid point. Let's say you play Tampa. Tampa's better. If Tampa beats you, okay. But that card was used when they played Washington 5 years ago. And the year after that against Boston. But when you lose to the Habs and you lose to Columbus, then you can't just keep saying, well, better team, better team, better team. At some point, you just got to prove it. You got to break through. And
I
winning at the Garden last night wouldn't have changed that.
Yeah. I actually think they will break through this year, but like you just said, Brian, of all the years, the way it's shaping up, you're going through either Florida team or maybe even a resurgent Boston. Again, lots of hockey to be played. We're not even halfway through the year. No matter how it looks, no matter how you think the standings will play out in the Atlantic, you're getting either Florida, Tampa, or Boston
right
in the first round.
Right.
It'd be tough, and you may or may not be at home.
That's right.
So it's a huge task. But to your point, I don't want to hear what was me in terms of, well, of course this is the year the Atlantic's the best division. You had Columbus in the bubble. You had Montreal. Yeah, I know, Carey Price, and he did Carey Price things, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if there were ever times to get over the hump, it was the two previous playoffs for sure.
Right.
So
right.
Do it now. Do it the harder way, and that'll be awesome.
That's
great
exactly
for the Leafs
it.
To make that point.
No one will want to see that more than me, and I can speak for everyone in the city. And we're hopefully that's where it's chugging towards. But as you've said multiple times this chat, still a long ways to go before we get there. Quickly, before we get you out of here, all eyes would be on Edmonton tonight. What do you sense is the mood? You talk about nerves watching that Cowboy game. What do you think Ken Holland's thinking walking to the rink tonight?
Yeah, it's a ton of pressure on that franchise right now. A lot of discussions internally. I dealt with this in insider trading too, but the Oilers are looking at all goalie options across the league right now. There's no great options, but there are options. But they need a win. Like it's real. And just like, you know, like it was, if the Leafs lost, you know, the amount of games that the Oilers have lost, what happens is you bring back the ghost of playoffs past and you wrap it into a little ball in that market. Well, that's what's happening in Edmonton, right? And, you know, it's, you know, Dave Tippett's in a final year of his deal. I think that's really the last thing Ken Holland wants to do. But there comes a time where you run out of options. And, again, I don't think it'll cost Dave Tippett his job at this point. But I cannot be sure that it won't. Because there's a ton of pressure on that franchise to turn this around. That's a big one tonight.
Yep.
And worst timing for them is the Panthers just had a rare blemish. And getting hammered the other night in Calgary. So they're getting a pretty hungry Florida team, too.
They'll be chippy, yep.
Yep, well, we'll see what they got tonight. It'll be a fun one, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thanks for not being too hard on me and mocking me about the Cowboys. Thank you, guys.
So good. Yeah, we'd rather play the Niners up at Lambeau. Thank you. We appreciate it. It was a service to us. Thank you, Pierre.
It was.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.